Our series in Timothy, so have a couple interim messages before I start the next series. So I thought this would be a great one kind of to start the new year. God's will. And what is God's will for us? And believe it or not, God's will is the same for every one of us. And we're gonna find out what that is. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. For the beautiful sunshine out there this morning, and just pray for safety still, people out on the roads and even walking across the parking lot. Just a little slippery out there, so just pray that people would be careful and be safe. And Father, thank you that we can gather here together this morning and worship you. And Father, I pray that that is what's on the forefront of our mind, is worshiping you, whether in music or through the word or even just fellowshipping together and sharing what God's doing in our lives. And so, Father, may you be glorified here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. That'll be our main passage for today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. So this is Paul. He's actually, more than likely, he's in Corinth, and he's writing to the Thessalonians. He says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and attend to your own business, and work with your hands, just as he commanded you, so that you will behave properly towards outsiders and not be in any need." Sanctification. That is God's will for each one of us, is to be sanctified. So what is that term? What does that mean? So the simple explanation of what it is set apart for God. A lot of times it's used with, or another word that can be used there is holiness. Holiness or sanctification. It's that idea of being set apart. It's the space and time between our justification when we accepted Jesus as Savior and glorification when we stand before God in eternity. That's what sanctification is about. It's the process. And so that's the first thing we want to look at is, what is the process? What is the process? Well, the first thing really that has to happen is salvation. And salvation comes through the gospel. Hebrews 10:10 says, "By this we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." That's where it begins, with believing that Jesus is who he said he was, that he came to save us from sin. And we have someone who will help us in this process, the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So we don't have to do it on our own. We have the Holy Spirit to help us in this process of sanctification. We also have God's word that will help give us direction and help us to know how we ought to walk, as Paul said here, how we ought to live our lives. Psalm 119:9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." That's how we walk in sanctification. That's how we live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to God, is by following his word. And that this process is a continuing process. You will never accomplish it here on earth. I mean, ultimately, it's a process that you will keep going through until one day you stand before God, and that's when you receive a glorified body. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." The renewing of your mind. That's not just a one and done, right?
No.
I mean, I know most of you that conforming of the mind has to happen all the time. You know, even when we think we might have it, all of a sudden something creeps in. So that's a continuing process. And this idea of, Paul says here, to excel, you're doing a good job, but excel still more. You can be better. You can strive for that sanctification. Strive to be like Christ. Excel still more. So here's what sanctification is not. Sanctification is not happiness. Gaining this happiness. James 1:2-4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then endurance, when it is perfect, when it has its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing." So the hard things in life that come are part of that sanctification process, so that we can learn how we ought to walk, how we ought to be, who we are to be, developing us into Christ-likeness. Sanctification is not satisfaction with the world. Not satisfaction with the world. Jesus, speaking in Mark, this is Mark 4:19, says, "But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." The worries of the world, all the stuff that's going on in the world that captures our attention, and that we get so caught up in it that we lose sight of Jesus. Sanctification is not, is not the answer to life's big questions. So, you know, a lot of times when we hear, well, what's God's will for my life? We're thinking smaller stuff, really. You know, who should I marry? What school should I go to? What job should I do? Should I keep this job, leave that job? I mean, there are those kinds of things, which are important. But what will happen is if we're living to be sanctified, all those things will fit into place. We will know what decisions to make. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline," or a sound mind. God has given us all the resources we need to make the decisions we need to make. He's given us his word. He's given us the Holy Spirit. So we have at our disposal what we need to make the decisions we need to make. So when we're thinking, so what's God's will for me in a specific circumstance? You have all the faculties to make that decision. You know, I can remember times in our family when, you know, we're trying to make some of those big decisions. And it just kind of comes down to, it's not that anyone is better or worse, but it's just like, I mean, you just agonize over, so what do you do? What do you do? I mean, even to the point where, well, we'll flip a coin, right? You know, God's in control of the coin. He can make it be whatever it wants to be. But, I mean, I think it was then that I really came to the realization that God really has given me all I need to make the decision. If I'm in His Word, if I'm paying attention to the Holy Spirit, I can make the decision. And one of the things that needs to be in the forefront of our minds as we're making those decisions is, will this glorify God? And will this lead to my sanctification? I mean, that's what we should be thinking. Because that's really what's important. This decision I'm making, how will that affect my relationship with God? How will it reflect on who God is? So here's what sanctification is. It is holiness. It's a set apart. We are set apart to do what God wants us to do for His purposes. John 17:16 says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus is making it very clear that once we accept Him as Savior, we are no longer of this world. We live here, and we have purpose here that we're to continue to show Christ, that we're to reflect God, but this no longer is where we are. I mean, we're here, but it's not really who we are. We're not of the world. We have another place we're going. Our citizenship is in heaven once we've accepted Christ as Savior. Now, God could have easily went, well, okay, you're saved, boom, take you out of the world. No longer for you to be here, you've been saved, I'll just bring you on home. But He doesn't, because He has a purpose for us. I mean, how did you hear about Christ? From someone else who had accepted Christ. If they had taken them out of the world, although God makes it very clear in His Word that no one is without excuse. That even within creation itself, He shows Himself. Amen. So the most remote tribe in the middle of some jungle, those people can't stand before God and say, well, you never sent anybody to tell me about you. Amen. And His response is, I gave you creation. All the things around you where you should see God. And it's very interesting that a lot of those tribes, they understand evil spirits. Yeah. Totally understand evil spirits. So there's obviously that spiritual realm that they get. Sanctification is pleasing to God. We saw that in 1 Thessalonians 4 where it says, it pleases Him. It pleases Him. And sanctification is pursuable. That it is something that we pursue, that God expects us to pursue and to continue to pursue. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Now, one of the things also that there's some things in this passage that, you know, that specifically points out here's what not to do, and it being sexual immorality. I want to address that a little bit because part of this has to do with His audience. So he's in Corinth and he's writing to the Thessalonians. Well, if you've read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you can see in there that they had issues. And a lot of times it was along this line, with sexual issues. He's writing to the Thessalonians. Now, in the Greco-Roman world, sexuality was pretty lax. I mean, their religion, There was temple prostitutes. I mean, it was just, you know, for them, that's what they did. And so Paul is pointing out here, this is one of those areas that you really need to get under control, that you really need to be careful of. In Acts, there was an instance where there was, in the Gentile church, the question of circumcision comes up, and they end up sending a delegation back to Jerusalem to where the main church leaders are, saying, so do we need to do this or not? And they said, no, you don't need to do that, but here's what you need to do. Very interesting. Don't eat things strangled where the blood has not been let out of them, and abstain from sexual immorality. So that was an issue of the day, that they were making it very clear, don't do this stuff. But it's not singular, because we all deal with different things that we shouldn't do. So if we can say, well, okay, I checked that box off, I don't have an issue with that. Well, but what about this? Or what about this? So it's not just a singular issue. So what should we do? What should we do to be sanctified? Well, that first thing is believe the gospel. Believe the good news of salvation, that Jesus came and saved us from our sin. And that all that we need to do is believe that and accept him as Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. So, that's a pretty good list there. I think it probably covers everybody. Amen. And such were some of us. And we all know where we were and what God saved us out of. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you're saved. And that then helps you in the process of sanctification. We're to follow the direction of God's word. Follow the direction of God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16. For all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. God's word is what we have to help us be sanctified, to help us be righteous, to lead a holy life. Now, I want you to realize that this doesn't mean that we're being perfect, because we're not. We will never be perfect here on this earth. It's not going to happen. So just to let you know, it's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that that isn't our goal. Our goal is holiness. Our goal is Christ-likeness. That's still our goal. Even though we know we won't attain it, that's still our goal. And every day, that's where we need to be heading. We need to live a godly life. We need to live a godly life. How you ought to walk and please God. How you ought to walk and please God. Romans 6:19 says, I am speaking in human terms, Paul here, because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, here's what you do now. Now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So in other words, just as you gave in to the sins in your past. Now flip that around and pour yourself wholeheartedly into God, becoming godly, following Jesus' example. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And the Holy Spirit helps us in remembering those things that Christ has taught, what we've learned from God's word. Be in the world, but not of it. Jesus, speaking to his Father in John 17:15, says, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one." To keep them from the evil one. God's word says, submit to God, resist the enemy, and he will flee. But what's that first part? Submit to God. Got to do that first. Submit to God. And that was Jesus' example, right? Even though he was God, he submitted to the Father God. He was willing to do whatever it took. Because I'm sure his desire would have been, okay, these ones that have been with me all this time, and they've put in the hard work. When I go, let me take them with me. Because he knew what they were going to go through. He knew that they were all going to be martyred and suffer for Christ's sake. But he also knew for us, the best thing for us was to leave them in the world. And so that's why it's the best for the world is for us to be here. For we believers to be here. But we have to speak up. We have to be willing to tell people about Christ. So what's God's will for your life? Sanctification. What's God's will for your life?
Sanctification.
Good job. That's it. I mean, you know, it sounds simple, it really isn't, but that really is it. Our sanctification. So here's what I want to ask you. So what's your plan? How are you going to accomplish that? Do you have a plan? Or do you just kind of merrily skip through life and, you know, when things come up, then I'll deal with them then. Do you need to have a plan? What's your plan for 2017 to be sanctified? To become more like Christ, to become righteous and holy, because it pleases God, because it pleases God. So I would just encourage you to think about that. So on a daily basis, what am I going to do to be sanctified? I can give you some hints. One of them is being God's word every day. Another one is communicate with God every day. Those are kind of the basics. And be just totally sensitive to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit says, don't do that, or do that, then obey. If you will do what the Word of God says, you will be making the right choices. Immerse yourself in God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've given us your word. And I know I've said many times before, I am just so grateful that we have your word today just as you wanted it to be. That we have so many resources to help us understand your word. But most importantly, that you've given us your Holy Spirit so that when we're reading your word and we're open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you help us understand what it means. That you help us understand what the action is that we need to take, which is probably the most important, is that we need to act upon what you're showing us in your word. Father, help us to have a plan for 2017. How are we going to be sanctified? How are we going to be more like Christ? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to just go over a few announcements here as we dismiss. So in the back, in the hospitality center back there, next week is our annual meeting. And so what we've done is we've provided ministry reports, written ministry reports, the previous meetings. There are ballots back there, so you know kind of what's going on in that area, and the agendas back there. And so what we really want you to do is, if you're going to be at the meeting, to take these ahead of time so that when we come to the meeting, we don't have to read the minutes, which just takes a lot of time. You can read this stuff ahead of time. If you have any questions, you can contact Karsten Mickelson. If you have questions over the agenda or if you think there's corrections that need to be made. And then, like I said, the ministry reports and ballots are back there, and that's next Sunday, the 29th, right after second service. And those that are staying for the meeting, we will also have lunch for you. Women's Bible study. There's a new study starting up